Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Well, good morning. And like Sarah said, welcome to the first week of two services. We're still figuring this thing out. And so if we make mistakes, which only I will make mistakes, let's be honest. Everyone else will probably be doing pretty well. But if we make some mistakes, I was going to say we'll refund the price of admission, but you didn't pay anything to get in here. So to buy your love, we tried to give you a snow cone today on your way in, all right? So I know what you're thinking. Mark, it's pretty cold outside for a snow cone, to which I would say, yeah, you're right. We messed that one up, right? It was supposed to be 90 a couple weeks ago. We were like, how can we celebrate this two-service thing? Let's buy everyone a snow cone, and now it's just not as exciting. So maybe in a couple weeks, or maybe next summer, we'll have hot chocolate just to balance it out, okay? So anyway, while you're here, I want to just take a moment. We are excited about what God has done recently and what he's doing. And so I wanted to give you just a quick history lesson of what's going on at Movement Church. We started in 2012 with an assist from a church up in Dublin called Encounter Church. And the first week that we met, there were 21 of us in a classroom, and we kind of knew in our hearts that God had called us to be a certain kind of church. And so that's what we knew. And we were sitting in that room and we're thinking, all right, how do we do that now? And so later in 2013, we launched having services for the first time. We did that in a dance studio next to Tim Hortons out by 270 in the Nissan dealer. It was a classy time, right? And it was our humble beginnings. It was a small time, but we look back on that time and it was so great. In 2014, we moved here to the Y. And God kind of gave us some more visibility and some more influence. This Y has more members than my hometown has people. And so that always blows my mind. But they've been a great partner. In fact, this week, we signed a new two-year contract with them just to be able to have two services here. And so we're excited about that. We're grateful for them. And over these last couple years, as has been mentioned and you saw in that video, we've seen people come to know Jesus. We've seen people baptized. We've seen leaders develop. We've seen groups launched and seen God do a lot of cool things. One of the things that we're most proud of in 2017, we sent our first church plant. We became parents and we helped start Three Creeks Church over in Gahanna. And they're meeting right now this morning and we're excited about that. And even as we did that, we weren't sure what the future would hold. But in 2018, God continued to bless us. And there got to be a point where we said, we need to go to two services so that people have seats and so that people can invite their friends. And so that brings us up to speed and kind of let you know where we're at today. We're excited about what God is doing. But I want you to know that what was said in that video is true. Starting two services doesn't just automatically make them work. And so I hope that you will take serious the challenge that we believe that Jesus has you on mission every day in your personal life. And so you don't have to be fake about that, but I think you have to have purpose with that. And so if God has put you in a certain neighborhood, if God has put you in a certain job, if God has put you in a certain dorm, and you feel called to share your faith with someone or invite someone to sit next to you and bring them to church, I hope you will take that challenge serious. I truly believe that these are our services. This service is your service. And so it's our job to minister to people and to grow this as God has called us to do. And so today we start a new series, as was mentioned, called Blurred Vision. We're doing this because they say that vision leaks, right? Vision leaks, and that every couple weeks, every couple months, organizations and movements have to kind of recast a vision and say, this is who we are, and this is why that matters, and this is where we're going, and they have to be reminded of those things. And so we want to make sure that we're on the same page and that we have clarity for where we're going as a church. And so we want to look at a passage together today. This is a passage that has kind of become a passage in Scripture that is unofficially our vision passage. And so I want to ask you, if you've got a Bible or if there's one there, under your seat, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 to 21. If you've got a Bible, you'll probably see one in front of you, behind you, under you. There's a Bible there. It's on page 884. And if you don't have a copy of the Bible, we would love for you to take that Bible home with you today. That's our gift to you. We know and we trust that there's power in God's word, and we want everyone to have that, to read that. And so we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 to 21. Together, I'll read and you can follow along and we can check this out together. Page 884, it says this: if it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's a passage that you'll hear us mention and we'll come back around to. Maybe you've heard us talk about before, because I think it so wonderfully, succinctly encapsulates the gospel and our mission and who we are. And so I thought we could refocus today at this milestone and just look at where God is taking us forward. But we want to put a little twist on that and maybe find some things that aren't in here. Because when we started Movement Church, we picked the word movement because it means intentional and contagious. We believe that God has been intentional in our lives and that his love is contagious, and that we're called to be intentional and contagious with the gospel, with his love as his church, as we love the world and as we go out into the world. And so that's the basis of this. That's what makes us a movement. That's what will help us maintain being a movement. But as I look at this passage, I want to kind of put a spin on this and point out to us today the three fastest ways to kill a movement. Because there are some things in here that are really good, some things that we should do, some things that I think we do, but if we stop doing them, if we do the opposite, it could detour us really fast. And so these are the three fastest ways to kill a movement. The first one is start acting normal, right? I mean, that first verse there, verse 13, it kind of says right away, if it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And so I have a news flash for you. You are not normal, right? If Jesus is a part of your life, if Jesus has changed your life, you are not normal. Now, some of you have older siblings and your older sibling has been telling you that since you were like five, right? They're saying, you're not normal. You're not part of this family and teasing you, right? Some of you are like, wow, how does he know that? Because I had an older brother, right? Okay, so I'm not talking about that, but if you're in Christ, you are not normal. This passage says that you're different. And you've seen the world, you've seen normal people, right? Normal people don't love unconditionally. Normal people don't turn the other cheek. Normal people don't show grace when others don't deserve it. And normal people aren't often changed. You're not normal, but if you want to kill a movement, start acting normal. If you want to make the gospel ineffective in your life, start acting normal. Second way to kill a movement is to start living for yourself. Verse 14 says that Christ's love controls us. And since we believe that Christ died for all and we're dead to our old life, he died for everyone. And so the way that we look at others, we're looking at others through the eyes of Jesus. We're not looking at others and saying, oh, this is who they are, this is what they deserve. We're looking at them differently, and we're not living for us and for our own selfishness. We're saying, Jesus gave his life for me, and so I'm going to live my life for him. And we're talking a lot about Jesus, and we're talking a lot about others, and none of those words are about us, because someone who understands what Jesus has done for them will not live for themselves. But if you want to kill a movement, if you want to make the gospel ineffective in your own life, you can live for yourself, and you can be selfish. Best ways to kill a movement: start acting normal, start living for yourself. And the third one, start acting dead. Not literally, you'll fall on the floor, right? And just lay there, right? That's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about verse 16. It says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. You're alive. You're made new. Sin and darkness and the things that have dominated your life or taken out of your life. You're a new person and you're alive. And so you should act alive. People should see joy and should see happiness, should see something different in you. And they shouldn't see that you don't like your life. They shouldn't see that you don't like your job and your family stresses you out. Now, does that mean your job's kind of stressful? Yeah. Does that mean your family can be stressful? Yeah. But they should see life in you. They should see joy in you. They should see that something is different. Something gets you out of bed in the morning and something puts you on a mission. And you might not be perfect. You might mess up, but you've got life. But if you want to slow down the gospel in your life, you want to kill a movement, start acting dead. These verses are very clear that our assignment is this. Your life is a gift that Jesus bought with his life. And your job is to live for him and help others take next steps to do the same, right? These verses say it, that it's our job to reconcile people to Jesus, to yell, come back to God. And it very clearly says the gospel, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So when we say that our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God, that's our fancy poetic way of spinning these verses, right? Because we believe there's a moment where we realize that sin and junk and selfishness and thinking that we know better than God has defined our lives. But there's a moment where we say, God, I can't do this anymore on my own. There's a moment where we understand that knowing that we were selfish, knowing that we were choosing our own way, knowing that the wages and the road that we were headed on is death, that God said, I'm going to send my son Jesus. He's going to give his life for the junk in your life. He's going to remove the gap between you and myself. He's going to remove the gap between you and God. And by trusting in him, by putting your faith in him, you can know him, you can have a relationship with him, and you can be made complete. And that's a one-time decision to trust Jesus, to follow Jesus, to surrender your life to Jesus. But it's also a day in and day out decision to say, Lord, what part of my life can I surrender today? What part of my ego, what part of my gifts, what part of my platform, what can I do to make a choice today to honor you with my life, with where I'm at? And that sounds really good, right? I hope it does. It was my job to write that this week, right? I was trying to make it sound really good. But when you say that, we can't help but think, yeah, my job is to follow God, to walk with God, to find my way back to God, to try not to mess up, but I do that. I get off mission. I get off task. I forget the assignment. I'm not yelling, come back to God to the world. I'm probably yelling, stay away from God. He hasn't changed me if someone were to watch my life. And so I want us to look at a passage today and just remind us of something. Most of you probably have heard of a man named Abraham in the Old Testament. He's the father of the Israelites, the father of the Jewish people. And God made a covenant with him and said, I'm going to start a mighty nation. I'm going to bless your people. I'm going to walk with your people. I have a covenant with your people. I'm going to communicate with your people. Your people are my people. We are one and the same. We're on this team. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. And God set this up. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. If you were here, and this nation grew rapidly and eventually they ended up in Egypt in a time of famine, and they found themselves in slavery. And so this great nation that God loved, that God was going to walk with, that God was going to journey with, was probably thinking, what's the plan here? He had mentioned that this could happen, but I'm sure they didn't understand it. And so we want to look at a passage today as God calls them out of slavery. I just want to highlight this to you real quick. Because God came and spoke through a man named Moses, and maybe you know this story, maybe you saw a cartoon when you were little, maybe your grandma told you the story, but God showed his power, and he used some plagues, and he spoke through people, and he brought the Israelites out of slavery. Millions of people were brought out of slavery, right? And God did that to show his power and to show that he was with them and walking with them and working with them, and Israel saw this happen. But as they left this country, the Pharaoh, the man that was charged, the man that let them go, the man whose economy had probably been driven by all of this help, all of these slaves, and his country was dependent on them, probably looked up and thought, wait, what have I done? Why did I do this? And so he decided to chase after these people as they were leaving. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, we get to catch up with what's going on with Israel, and it says this. As Pharaoh approached, because he was chasing them, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. So the Israelites knew that they had a relationship with God. They knew that they had a covenant with God. They knew that God had communicated with them, was walking with them, and he was bringing them out of this. They knew all these things. They'd been reminded of this. They'd seen his power. They'd been delivered. And yet in this moment, they look up and they see something that scares them a little bit. And they're like, thanks a lot, Moses. I don't know why he didn't just let us stay in slavery. We had it pretty good back there. That was not that bad. We could have died there and been happy. Why did you have to do this? Because they had a little blip on the radar where they got scared, right? They didn't trust. They couldn't remember what God was doing. And they were scared to continue to walk with God and keep taking these steps forward. He had provided, he had shown his power, but they weren't sure of that. So they ask, why did you bring us here to die? Verse 13 says this, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Wonderful verse, and I feel like unofficially it's one of those verses that grandmas like to crochet into blankets. You've probably seen that verse at your grandma's house, right? There's that one, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's like in the top five grandma verses, right? Sorry if you have like a tattoo of that. I'm not trying to offend you. Just making a joke, all right? Okay, so we read that verse, and it's funny because a lot of people read that verse, and they stop right there. They stop at verse 14, and they say, you only need to be still. But I don't know if still meant still in that moment. I think it meant you need to remember all that's happened. You need to slow down your mind. You need to be reminded of what's taken place and what's gone on, and they need to be reminded that God was in control, that God was in relationship with them, that God was walking with them, that God was more powerful than whatever they were up against, and that God had already shown them in so many ways that they could trust him and they could depend on him. So if that's what it means to be still, yeah, they needed to be still. But ironically, God didn't tell them to stop. No, in fact, this is what is said in verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Because the vision that God had given them hadn't changed. The relationship that he had with them hadn't changed. The mission that they were on hadn't changed. And he was calling them in active faith to continue to move forward and trust him and keep their eyes on him and take step after step after step after step after step of obedience. That's what God was calling them to do. By faith. They didn't need a new vision. They just needed to keep walking in faith, and God showed himself faithful. But they wavered a little bit. We all waver, right? Not as bad as them though, right? So I just wanted to read that passage today and embarrass the Israelites because we don't do that. We trust God. We know God's plan. We never doubt his plan. We're not intimidated by other things. We're not distracted by other things. We keep our eyes on him and we keep taking steps, right? But shame on Israel. They're a really good example of what not to do. And let's just all collectively laugh at them, right? No, you and I do the same thing. We see something off in the distance and we're like, God called us to do that? That looks terrifying. God called me to take this step, but I was more comfortable over here. God wants me to trust him. Who is he that I can trust him? What has he ever done in my life? We laugh at Israel when they're saying that with their actions, and yet we say it all the time. This is what Israel says in chapter 16, verses 2-3. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. They were looking back on this terrible time where they were treated in inhumane ways, and I'm sure they were abused and they were starved, and they're looking back and they're saying, we had pots of meat, right? When they were thinking of like a feast, they were thinking of that time in slavery. This was like their golden corral that they had built it up to in their memory, right? Where they're just like inhaling anything they can get, like ice cream cone with a pork chop, whatever they want, right? That was their moment that they had it, and yet that's not the truth. But they were glamorizing that. They were telling themselves that because they were scared, because they lacked faith, because they were unwilling to take a step, because they didn't trust God, because they had forgotten about the ways that he had provided for them. They'd forgotten about his power. They'd forgotten about everything that he had done for them and in their lives. They forgot that he was there with them. He was walking with them and he was saying, trust me, take that next step. Surrender this part, take that next step. Leave that behind. Yeah, I know you're going to miss it. Yeah, I know it's a distraction, but leave it behind. Trust me, keep your eyes on me and follow me and take that next step. So we talked about our assignment. We said that our assignment is to know that Jesus gave his life so that we could live our lives for him, and that our assignment is that we're supposed to tell the world about that, right? We're supposed to help the world find that same gospel message. But here's the problem, and here's something I want us to think about today. Don't become so comfortable with the scenery that you take your eyes off the assignment. Don't become so comfortable with the scenery that you take your eyes off the assignment. Now, maybe you're thinking, no, I'm not comfortable. I'm terrified, right? Well, sometimes we pretend we're more comfortable, or we're more comfortable being terrified than we are trusting God. Don't become distracted by the scenery. Don't become enthralled with the scenery. Don't become comfortable with the scenery that we would say, yeah, I'm doing good right here. I don't want to give up my Lexus. I'm gonna stay right here. I don't want to switch jobs because God's asking me to do that. I don't want to move. I don't want to go to that new school. I don't want to switch majors. I don't want to share my faith with that person. I'm going to stay right here in the place I know, the place I've been, the place that's comfortable. And we take our eyes off God and we stop following God. We stop walking toward God in faith. Don't become so comfortable with the scenery that you take your eyes off the assignment. Can I share one of my greatest fears with you guys? My greatest fear is squirrels. I don't know why I'm telling you that, and that has nothing to do with this message. I'm terrified that one will attack me, so please don't ever bring one to my house, okay? But another fear of mine, a real one that actually contributes to this conversation, is leading a church that becomes stagnant. Because as I tell you that timeline, both services today, as I sat over here and watched that video, I was brought to tears just thinking about how faithful God has been and how good he's been to build Movement Church. Not because of me, not because of us, not because of anyone, but because he's faithful and because we've followed him and walked after him. And the thought of being a part of a church or leading a church that's unwilling to take steps in faith and do what God is asking us to do next, personally or corporately, terrifies me. I mean, imagine in 2012 if we had said, hey, God's called us to be this church. Okay, well, let's meet as 21 of us in this room. Okay, do you guys feel good? Yeah, okay, I feel really good. Okay. No, we said God is calling us to more. He wants us to sacrifice more and surrender more. And imagine in 2013 if we had said, okay, we started a service and people showed up. Does everybody feel warm and fuzzy? Okay, good. What about if we had said when we moved to the Y, hey, we're in the Y now. That makes us more of a church than a dance studio, probably less of a church than a building, but you know, you can't win them all. So do we feel good? Yeah. Or what if we'd said, hey, we helped start Three Creeks Church. We're good now. Or imagine if we said, hey, we got to two services. We're so legit. Maybe not even in the past. Imagine in the future. What if we get a building someday and we think we're a real church now? When I bring my family, they're going to say, way to go to a real church that has a building. I know you struggled to do that for a while, but now you made it. How sad would that be? And yet God is asking us to keep our eyes on him, to trust him, to follow him in faith, to look forward and to continue to be obedient and surrender parts of ourselves that we don't want to surrender our comfort, to surrender our fear, to surrender the things that we don't want to give up to be more like him and to keep our eyes on him. When God says that he wants to move in our hearts, it's not our job to say, okay, I'll give you this much. It's our job to surrender and say, yes, God, here's all of me. We sang it in that song, so you can have all of me. That's what surrender looks like. That's what surrender looks like in our lives. And if we're going to follow in faith, we have to know that faith takes us to uncomfortable places. If for the first time today you're hearing that God loves you, that God didn't want your sin to separate you from him, and so he sent his son Jesus to die and give his life so that you could know God, I realize that it can be uncomfortable when someone says you can start a relationship with God and you think that doesn't sound normal. It doesn't sound like what I've done. It doesn't sound like what I know. There's a step of faith there, and faith is uncomfortable. And if God is saying to you, I've given you gifts, I want you to use them in leadership, or I've put you in community, but you haven't really jumped into that yet, I want you to be in a group, I want you to share life with people. When God asks us to take a step and keep our eyes on him in faith, it is uncomfortable. Faith and the lack of comfort are kind of the same thing. Because at the end of ourselves, when we go beyond ourselves, we're forced to look at God and trust only God. And when you can't trust yourself, you're in the right place. We're not called to be consumers. We're not called to be comfortable. We're called to serve other people, to love other people, to take the gospel to other people and help them take next steps. And that's what we want to continue to do as a church. We don't want to be so comfortable with the scenery, with where we're at now or in the future, that we ever take our eyes off God. We want to live intentional and contagious lives with the gospel and with the assignment that God has given us. So please don't act normal. Please don't act normal. Please don't live for yourself. Please don't act like you're dead, because you're changed. You're new. You're different. That's the message that God has given us. That's the message he's asked us to live in faith as we take steps. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the examples we see in scripture. And thank you for letting us walk after you and be in relationship with you and live by faith. God, I pray that if there's someone here today that has never trusted you, wants to know more about a relationship with you, God, I pray that you will give them the courage to ask about that today, to look into that today, to see what would it look like to fall into your arms and to trust you, to surrender their life to you, because your love is never ending, never changing, and is greater than anything. God, I pray for others that you've been speaking to, Lord. You've been asking them to do something in obedience and we've ignored you. Lord, to find our way back to you means that we take step after step after step. We've been following you for 1 week, for 1 day, for 1 year, for 1 decade. Lord, if we've been a Christian for an hour, we'd say we're not a Christian yet, or maybe we'd say we've been a Christian for 50 years. Lord, whatever you're asking us to do, help us to surrender our ego, to surrender our fear, to surrender our inadequacy, and to surrender our comfort and the scenery around us, Lord, when we don't want to change and when we don't want to take steps forward. God, thank you for the ways that you are working in our lives personally, in Movement Church corporately. And God, we ask that you will continue to bless this church, Lord, as we keep our eyes on you. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to be obedient today on an individual level, Lord. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.